Hello and welcome to the Michigan Independent Redistricting Commission case post-argument press call. My name is Cheryl and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will have several opportunities to do a question and answer session. During those question and answer sessions, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference call is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Corey Goldstone. Sir, you may begin.
Hello and good afternoon. Thanks for participating today in the call to discuss the case Daunt v. Benson. I'm Corey and I'm the communications manager at Campaign Legal Center. We are a nonpartisan election law organization in Washington that is representing voters, not politicians, in the fight to protect Michigan's Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. DLC supports the movement of commissions being implemented by ballot initiative around the country. 2018 was a historic year with 5 for 5 being passed in Michigan, Colorado, Utah, Missouri, and Ohio. On this call, you will hear from Supreme Court litigator Paul Smith, who is Vice President of Litigation and Strategy at CLC. Paul gave oral arguments in the case today before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Paul has argued before the U.S. Supreme Court 21 times and secured numerous victories, including in important cases advancing civil liberties. Nancy Wang is the executive director of Voters Not Politicians, where she led a powerful, one-of-a-kind, citizen-driven movement to strengthen democracy in the state of Michigan. She spearheaded the group's successful ballot initiative campaign as the drafter and sponsor of the redistricting amendment, which would go on to serve as a model for reform nationwide. At the end of the call, there will be a Q&A. Afterwards, if you would like further information, please don't hesitate to send me an email at media@campaignlegalcenter.org. Now I'll turn things over to Paul. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey. As Corey said, I'm Paul Smith, Vice President at the Campaign Legal Center, where we're very proud of the opportunity to represent voters, not politicians, in its work to defend Michigan's democratically enacted redistricting reform amendment. And as Corey said, we just had oral arguments over the telephone in the Sixth Circuit appeal of the challenge that was brought to the amendment in federal court in Michigan. And before I get more specific about that part of it, let me give you a little bit of background on the big picture. I think it's important to understand what this is about. It's about whether there will be an effective remedy for gerrymandering in Michigan. And what is gerrymandering? Well, it's a manipulative way of drawing maps that politicians use to basically destroy democracy, to say it doesn't matter which party wins the most votes. We've decided in advance that our party should have the most seats in the legislature or in the congressional delegation. And we know from years of fighting this problem that it's getting worse with the use of sophisticated computers and data and voters becoming more polarized and predictable. But voters are also becoming fed up with the abuse of the line drawing and are ready for solutions. We know this in part because we conducted a poll last year at CLC where 3/4 of the voters nationally said they wanted the U.S. Supreme Court to establish clear limits under the Constitution on gerrymandering, and that was broadly supported by people from all parts of the political spectrum. However, unfortunately, in June last year, we and all the other groups pushing for gerrymandering reform lost a narrow 5-4 decision in the Supreme Court in the Rucho case, where the court said that it wasn't going to provide a remedy for gerrymandering in federal court, not because it is a good thing. The court doesn't even deny it's unconstitutional. They just think it's too hard to draw lines in this area. And so they've withdrawn from the field. And the little bit of solace we got from that opinion was Chief Justice Roberts saying, you know, the states are dealing with this problem. They're passing these redistricting reform amendments to create these independent commissions. He specifically mentioned Michigan. That is the next plan for solving the gerrymandering problem. However, there are those in Michigan and elsewhere who would like to push back on these commissions and are using litigation in an effort to try to shut down the reform that the people overwhelmingly supported, over 60% of Michigan voters supported in 2018. And as I mentioned, the argument today was in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. That's because in the district court, we won a victory. We in the state of Michigan defending the amendment, denying any kind of an injunction to bar or interfere with the amendment and the process of forming the commission, which is ongoing. And the plaintiffs in the case, who are Republicans involved with the party in Michigan, as well as the Michigan Republican Party itself, appeal to the Court of Appeals, which sits ordinarily in Cincinnati, but happily, well, we did this over the phone today. And so we're hopeful that the Sixth Circuit will affirm the denial of any injunction, let the process of forming the commission, which is underway, finish itself. And I do want to try to give you a little bit of flavor of the argument. The argument was a little peculiar for a variety of reasons. One of them was it was over the phone, which meant you can't actually see the judges, and you get much less information about what points are scoring or not scoring, or who's skeptical or who's not skeptical. It is much more difficult to give you much of a read. And the time limits were very strictly enforced, so we only had basically a half hour of arguing among four lawyers. All that said, I guess I can say I don't make predictions about appellate arguments and the outcome of cases, but we did feel that we were able to get our points across, and the arguments focused on the two main issues in the case. One is a challenge to the rules that say if you've been involved professionally as a politician, lobbyist, party official in the last 6 years, or are a close family member of such a person, you shouldn't be applying to be a commissioner. We want this to be a citizens' commission, not a professional politicians' commission. But the challengers are saying that punishes us for our prior exercise of our First Amendment rights to be involved in politics. And then the Republican Party is saying you have these people who self-designate as Republicans and end up with four slots on the commission. We should be able to pick those four. There are people we want to nominate and tell you who they're going to be. And if you don't let us do that, that violates our rights under the First Amendment. Those were the two issues. It seemed like the court was more interested in the issue of these disqualifications for people for prior political involvement. By far the most active judge was Judge Radler, who is a fairly recent appointee on the Court of Appeals by President Trump. And he would probably be the least likely vote for our side. On the other hand, it's by no means clear which side he was on. He asked hard questions of both sides. And the other two judges were more quiet, somewhat more difficult to read, particularly on the telephone. But I came away quite hopeful that we'll have a good ruling out of this three-judge panel. My guess is they understand the urgency of this, which is why they went ahead and held the argument over the phone, and that we'll get a ruling fairly soon. Certainly, I know people in Michigan are quite anxious to know that the process can go forward and that we can keep things on course. Be happy to answer more questions about the argument later on, but now let me turn it over to Nancy Wang. If it weren't for her and the heroic efforts of the grassroots supporters of Voters Not Politicians, this ballot initiative would never have been possible, and we wouldn't be here defending it. So thank you for that work, Nancy, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thanks so much, Paul. As Corey mentioned, I am the now executive director of Voters Not Politicians. We were the all grassroots, nonpartisan, volunteer-driven campaign that wrote the constitutional amendment that's being challenged in these cases, and that led the campaign to pass it in 2018. I was one of those volunteers for the entire campaign from 2016 to 2018. And the reason I mention that is because, you know, the whole process of from beginning to end was really driven by citizens from all across the political spectrum. And the reason why people like me and, you know, other regular voters took the extraordinary step of amending our state constitution was because we had suffered through, you know, decades of some of the most extreme partisan gerrymandering in the country. And we were desperate to make our voices heard and our votes count again. And so we had volunteers, about 8,000 at our peak, who, you know, went on the streets and we drafted the constitutional language together as just regular citizens, learning from each other. And some of our state nonprofits were in the mix, as well as national experts like Common Cause and the Campaign Legal Center and the Brennan Center. And, you know, we put our language on a petition, and we went out in the streets and collected 428,000 signatures with all volunteers and not a single paid signature. And again, I think that's just, you know, emblematic of kind of the urgency that people all across Michigan were feeling about, you know, the need to stop the kind of manipulation of our political system that our politicians were, you know, were kind of using redistricting to do. And we, fortunately, under our Constitution, had the right to engage in direct democracy and put an amendment on the ballot. Now, some of the same parties that are involved in these two lawsuits, Tony Daunt and the Freedom Fund, were part of, you know, led the opposition against our proposal. They first sued us in state court during the campaign in order to keep us off the ballot. And of course, you know, we prevailed in those cases, and that was the reason why we could put the question to the voters. And we ended up winning, again, across the political spectrum, you know, in almost every county in the state by a 61 to 39% margin. And having lost, of course, that democratic kind of, you know, process in 2018, now these same parties, and then also now the Michigan Republican Party, which stands, you know, to lose the most because they were the party that's been gerrymandering Michigan's maps, they've now, you know, are trying their hand by using the federal courts. So, you know, we see this as just kind of a continuation of the relentless attacks by these, you know, political parties and other party insiders who really benefited for so many years from partisan gerrymandering and now are doing everything they can to thwart the will of the people. So we are very, very grateful to Paul and the Campaign Legal Center, as well as our Lansing-based law firm that has been working tirelessly to really, you know, protect our redistricting amendment. And at the same time, you know, our volunteers have not gone away. We immediately, after the election, kind of, you know, got busy again, putting our efforts to implementation. And so Secretary of State opened the applications in October of last year. We have been doing, again, mostly through volunteers, a series of education and outreach events. You know, we're kind of, you know, spreading the word to community groups and partners about what the passage of Proposal 2 means, about how, you know, what a citizen-driven redistricting process means. And then more recently, we've been trying to just get out the word however we can with, like, you know, small group meetings of five people to, you know, academic-sponsored conferences of more than 100 people, trying to recruit as large and as diverse a pool of applicants as possible. And that work continues. Our application period is open until June of 2020. And we just got data today, actually, from the Secretary of State's office showing that over 3,590 applications have already been processed by their office and deemed complete. And they have another, I think, 3,000 applications that have been received and are just awaiting processing. And so we are, you know, very heartened to see that our message is getting through and that people are really taking the power into their own hands and taking advantage of our new redistricting process and kind of throwing their hats in the ring to serve on it. So all of that to say, you know, we're really looking forward to the resolution of these meritless and really wasteful lawsuits. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, you need to pick up your handset first before pressing any numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Standing by for questions. Our first question comes from Riley Vagan from Bridge Magazine. Your line is now open.
Hey, guys. Do you have any expectation of when the decision will come down in this?
Well, this is Paul. The timing of decisions is notoriously hard to predict, and it could take a little longer than you would hope for if it turns out to be a split decision, because then you have to wait typically for the dissent to be written as well. The process is currently ongoing. There's nothing that's stopping the formation of the commission. So, even if it takes a couple of months, which would be unfortunate, it's not going to interfere in the short term with the process. I know they think that they understand that that we need answers, but it's going to take some time. They raised an awful lot of different arguments. That's not much of an answer, I guess, but that's best I can do.
That's okay. So if this gets, this comes out, if it gets appealed, where can this case go next? I mean, if the Supreme Court's already sort of determined something related to gerrymandering, is there another option for where this could go?
Well, we had a hearing in front of three judges of the Sixth Circuit. Whichever side wins, the losing side can seek what's called en banc review, which is a review by the entire group of judges who make up the Sixth Circuit, which probably, I don't know the exact numbers, about a dozen. And so it's possible for you to win in front of the panel and lose in front of the en banc court. Then the only other place to go is to the Supreme Court, which theoretically the other side could do as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. And speakers, at this time, I show no further questions in queue.
There is one more.
Okay, we do have a question from Alex Hebert from Bloomberg. Your line is now open.
Hey, folks. Thanks so much for having the follow-up call. Paul, can you talk about any questions you received or heard during the oral argument from the judges that you
sure
didn't expect to see coming? It might be a little bit of time. I talked with the court maybe a day or so before we get to listen to this.
There was a lot of discussion, more than I expected, of the exact details of who's disqualified from seeking to be on the commission by virtue of their prior political involvement, and why we have this particular person and not that person. A volunteer is not disqualified, a political volunteer, but a political staffer is disqualified. Why it's only partisan officials. What about the nonpartisan people who run for office in cities in Michigan? Why wouldn't we want to disqualify them? That kind of thing seemed to be bothering Judge Radler in particular. But there was another question which sort of came from left field, from what I could tell, we were talking about how the state has a very strong interest in deciding the qualifications of its own senior policymaking officials like these commissioners. And he asked me whether the state would have an equally strong interest in requiring voters to produce identification at the polling place, which seemed like kind of an apples to oranges question, a little bit out of, as I say, coming in rather surprising. And so I guess that was the most surprising one.
And just following up on that, what did you think of these questions? Did they show some sort of reservation from the judges here, or do you think that they were sort of like the things a normal person would ask in this kind of thing? You know, I ask a lot of the same kind of questions, too.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's been an effort to portray the amendment as not a fair and balanced amendment, but as a secret Democratic plot to favor the Democrats. And so I think Judge Radler was probing that a little bit to see whether there was substance to it. I don't know that that necessarily means that he's against us. He also was asking the lawyers for the plaintiffs questions about why they thought that their standards and their tests, their argument for strict scrutiny wasn't off base. So he gave food for thought to both sides. But, I think he was probing this theory. And, you know, the final reply briefs were filed here have all this extreme language about how this was funded by left-wing activists and all this sort of stuff, really trying to turn the judges into thinking this isn't a fair and balanced process. But the one thing you can say about this amendment is it's going to give absolutely equal representation to people of all different political stripes, and that's the purpose of it. So, in the end of the day, that argument, I don't think, gets very far. Nancy, do you have anything to add about any of that? I know you didn't hear the argument because nobody heard the argument, but.
No, I think you've covered it. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alex.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. And speakers, at this time, I show no further questions in queue.
All right. I think that wraps it up for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. If you have any further needs related to this case, feel free to email us at media@campaignlegalcenter.org, and there will be an audio recording of this call. Thank you.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.